Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Can a single image define a year? For today's Images of the Past, we learn about winter counts. Connor McMahon is chief curator for the U.S. Department of the Interior Indian Arts and Crafts Board. He joins us now on the phone from the Journey Museum in Rapid City. Connor McMahon, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
I was just at the Journey Museum not too long ago. What a remarkable place.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a real treasure for Rapid City and the surrounding area.
Yeah, let's talk about winter counts for people who aren't familiar with it, and I think many South Dakotans have at least heard of the idea. Lay out some background for us, please.
Of course. Well, winter counts are, at their simplest explanation, a pictorial depiction of history. So they are a tool that was used by Lakota people prior to the adoption of a written language in the 20th century, that individual groups of people, extended families, often referred to as tioshpes, used to record and remember their history.
And this is the idea of really one image that defines a year. Is that, do I understand it correctly?
Yes, I think that's a good assessment. Essentially, the way that a winter count was created is that it was at its root really a communal document, which I think is really fascinating in opposition to our traditional Western European histories where a single individual would often record a history of a particular area or people. In Lakota tradition, it was the entire group of elders within a tioshpe that decided together what was the most important event that happened to the group in that past year. And then once the elders had selected that event, it was then entrusted to a single individual referred to as the winter count keeper to then come up with an image that would record and depict that event, and then that was painted on the winter count. And then as time went by, the winter count keeper used that image as sort of a reference, a way of helping them remember the stories of years past so that they could pass those histories and traditions and stories along to younger generations.
Who would that winter count keeper have been? What sort of person would have served that role?
Excellent question. A winter count keeper was typically a well-respected elder within a tioshpe. As far as we know, in all recorded instances, they were male, so we don't have any recorded individuals of a female winter count keeper, although it's certainly a possibility. And the tradition, the responsibility of keeping a winter count was often passed from father to son, although in some cases it was passed to a nephew or other relative if there wasn't a son available.
Tell me about the medium. What would they have used to sort of make this recording?
Well, traditionally, winter counts would have been painted on a bison hide. Lakota people had a wonderful tradition, still have a wonderful tradition of painted hides that goes back for hundreds of years. A wide variety of different imagery was painted on those hides. In some cases, they were geometric patterns. In some cases, they were elaborate pictorial narratives of battles or hunts. And winter counts were just another form of that tradition of hide painting. So historically, they would have been on the inside of a bison hide. But just as ledger art evolved over time, with the disappearance of the bison hides, disappearance of the bison herds in the late 1800s and the loss of the bison hides, Lakota artists had to adapt. So they looked for new materials to make their paintings on, and since they didn't have bison hides anymore, they looked to a new material that came with the settlers and soldiers who arrived in South Dakota in the 1800s, and that was paper. And that paper often came in the form of old ledger books or recycled paper of some form or another that these artists would then obtain from settlers or soldiers and use to create their paintings on.
What can we tell, looking back at some of, talk a little bit about the winter counts that you have, and listeners, you can go sdpb.org/images of the past and see some images. Tell me a little bit about those artifacts and what we can tell from looking at them today.
Of course. The particular winter count that we selected for this piece and this article is often referred to as the Baptiste Good winter count. And it's a really fascinating winter count. It's on display here at the Journey Museum, so I would encourage any visitors to come see it. We also have another winter count on display called the Big Missouri winter count, which is a winter count on a hide. So it's really interesting to be able to see within a single case both the winter count painted on a hide as well as the winter count on a ledger book, as the Baptiste Good winter count is. There are actually several copies of this winter count in various museums around the country, because Baptiste Good was requested to make copies by different individuals, and so he would prepare these copies. But the Baptiste Good winter count here at the Journey Museum is also fairly unique among winter counts in that it goes back in history hundreds and hundreds of years. Most of the winter counts that we have begin in the 1700s with their narrative, but Baptiste Good, by all accounts, talked with as many people as he could to try to capture Lakota history for hundreds of years past. In fact, there are even depictions within this winter count of individuals hunting bison prior to the horse. So his history goes back to before Native Americans acquired the horse from Spanish colonists.
And I'm looking at some of these images, and here's 1868 in the Treaty of Fort Laramie, and that is the image that's depicted as the most significant, with two men shaking hands.
Exactly, and that's a wonderful image, and it's interesting in that that is an image that we see on quite a few winter counts. So obviously that event was very, very significant to many different groups of individuals, many different Tioshpes, many different Oyates within the Lakota Nation. And so we see slightly different variations of that common image of two individuals shaking hands. One of them is always the depiction of a Native American, and another is a depiction of a soldier of some kind. So as you can imagine, the Fort Laramie Treaty of 1868, its repercussions are still felt today. We're still having discussions about the treaty, so it was certainly a monumental event. Another really interesting one that we see across many different winter counts is the from the year 1834, which is often referred to as the year the stars fell. There was a really impressive meteor shower that year. The Leonid meteor shower was particularly intense, and it was recorded all across the world, in fact. We have astronomers from Western Europe who record it, astronomers from China, as well as these depictions within Lakota winter count.
How did you learn how to read these? I mean, what sort of knowledge is passed down so that you know, people can interpret them and say, that's what that depicts?
Sure. That's a great question. Well, we're really fortunate that in many cases, we actually have primary source documentation and literature for the significance and meaning of these winter counts, because in some cases it would certainly be difficult for modern scholars to interpret it. So what happened a lot in the late 1800s, early 1900s, as early ethnologists and anthropologists were discovering these winter counts, they had the opportunity to speak with the actual winter count keepers and ask them what their imagery meant. So we do have some copies of the Baptiste Good winter count, for example, where Baptiste Good himself, and in other cases his son High Hawk, who continued the winter count after Baptiste Good's death, made little annotations on the winter counts about what the glyphs meant. So in most cases, we always try to go back to the primary source if possible. Otherwise, we just have to do our best to do a very thorough scholarly research, compare winter counts to other winter counts where we might know what the meanings are and try to piece together the puzzle in order to interpret the images.
Connor McMahon is Chief Curator for the U.S. Department of the Interior Indian Arts and Crafts Board. We're talking to him from the Journey Museum in Rapid City. Connor, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.